You want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I gotta tell you something. I love bold Christians. Lord, give us some bold Christians. I'm just telling you, here we are on the 24th of April, 2017. Man, we need bold Christians. I sit around, sometimes sit around my house and watch some stuff on Facebook or YouTube, and I just look at everything that's going on in the world and just how timid we are. My goodness, how timid the average Christian man is, how timid our churches are, how timid our pastors are. I go on Facebook on Sunday morning and just look at all the church services that are playing live for you to look at. Just click on one and listen to it. And I can tell you this, all you got to do is just whatever you're watching on one YouTube page, just click on another one. It'll be the same thing. Somebody else will be saying it in a different way. Most of what they're saying, see, Jesus Christ did not go to the cross just to save little old you. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of Man. Wait a minute, what? For this purpose. He said, here's the reason why Jesus came. That's what it means, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay, Christians, what does that mean? What does that mean to destroy the works of the devil? What are the works of the devil? And is the devil real? And all this brouhaha and all this stuff they're talking, is there really a cosmic war going on? Do we really wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places? What does that even mean? I had a chance yesterday to fill the pulpit for a buddy of mine, and we just had kind of a sit down around the campfire talk. What does this stuff mean? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to fill your wallet, make you feel good. And when you got birthed onto a battlefield when you were born, and you came in here and you were born serving the devil. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. When you get born again of the Spirit of God, and you get transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, and Jesus tells you to take up your cross and follow after him, he loved you so much, he tells you to die. Die to yourself. Come and follow me. Lay it all down. Anybody who doesn't do that, doesn't reject their mother and their father and all that, anybody who loves them more than me, not worthy. Where do we get this easy grace, this greasy gospel of Jesus Christ that we have, especially when we find ourselves in the middle of the most cataclysmic war in the history of mankind? I'm just telling you, boys, it is playing out right before us. And we don't even get what's going on. We're so caught up in watching basketball and baseball. It's baseball season now, as if we needed that to come along. And people are, through amusement, we're being lulled to sleep, and all this stuff's coming around us. Now, here's one of the problems we can run into is we can develop what I like to call a paralysis by analysis. That everything you see, so many things going on around you that you don't do anything at all. I don't want to be that way, and I don't want you guys to be that way either. I want you to rise up and move forward to the grace of God and exercise your gifts. Take dominion. Gain property. Right? Occupy till he returns. These messages aren't needed. We don't even hear those in our churches anymore. And the stuff that's going on, I watched a video last night. Most of you, if I gave it to you, you couldn't watch it. It's too soft. Scripture, you better remember this. The scriptures tells us that there are days coming that if it were possible, the very elect themselves would be deceived. And beyond that, he said that what? Men's hearts would be failing them for fear. What do you think that is? What could be coming that men's hearts would fail them for fear? Boy, oh boy, what a time to be alive. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Hey, don't forget May 19th and 20th. L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar are coming to here to the Newark, Ohio area. And if you guys want to be in a small environment, we're talking about maybe 300, maybe 350 people are going to come to this thing. If you really want to get some time with Russ and L.A. and really get a chance to ask him some questions and some of the things that are going on that you've never been able to kind of connect the dots to, come and join us May 19th and 20th. That stuff can all be found at CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and then we're going to move on to our guests here. I'm going to tell you this. You'll never, you hear me, you'll never walk in the truth if you're afraid of it. Say that again. You'll never walk in the truth if you're afraid of it. Most of us are so comfortable where we sit, so comfortable in the life that we're living, so comfortable in the way our world's gone, the last thing we want to do is for anybody to mess it up. Well, Jesus told us that you shall know the truth, not hear it, but know it. You shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall set you free. And on Friday, I spoke about the 501c3 and how the church is married to the government and the dangers of that. And I just got to tell you, the Lord's dumped even more of that into my heart over this last weekend. I could go on and on, but I won't. We're lucky enough to have a guest with us. I hate to use this term, a prophet, prophetic guest, because we get that in our minds. We get that stuff all messed up because we watch Christian television, right? We see all these prophets come in and personal prophecies and lay hands on you, get slain in the spirit and all that stuff. And therefore we make prophecy something out in the woo. Well, a prophet is someone who speaks for the Lord, brings direction and correction. And if you watch this show regularly at all, you know that I talk about all of us at times walking that prophetic gift. But we have Mark Taylor with us today, who has been flowing in a prophetic realm, if you will. In fact, he wrote a prophecy back in 2011, or the Lord gave him something back in 2011. Think about that. That Donald Trump was going to be the next president of the United States. Now, I don't think anybody could have predicted that, right? Yeah, Mark was telling everybody that was going to happen. And then he ended up getting on after Trump was elected, or just before he was elected, got on with Rick Wiles at True News. And then he was on with Jim Baker's show. He's been all over the place. And Mark is a retired fireman, and he's more than just a fortune teller, which is what we tend to think prophecy is all about. But I've listened to Mark a couple different times on a couple different shows, and I said, you know what, that guy sounds like us. He sounds like he's one of us, with his cry to wake up and get involved in exactly what's going on. So listen, turn real quick here to Esther. Jared, pull that up there. Hey, listen, oh, man, I used to tell our football guys this. This is your nugget for the day. I used to tell our guys when they were playing football, you get yourself prepared, because you will never know when your chance to be the hero arrives. And I know this, that if your chance to be a hero arrives and you are not prepared for it, you will not be able to grasp it. It will go by you. And the world is full. History is lined with ordinary people who did something extraordinary at a specific time and place. The world's full of those stories. The Walter Mitty stories. Guy who just came out of nowhere, and it was his time, and he did it. I was having a discussion with Michelle the other day, and we were talking about our walk and places we're going. I said, you know what, sweetheart? Listen, I'm speaking to all of you out there. You're not all my sweethearts. Listen, your life can change like that. The Lord can touch something in your life, and it can change like that. And you better ask yourself, are you ready to run with it when he gives it to you? When that spotlight hits you, are you ready? You say, well, Coach, how do you ever get ready for that? Well, believe me, you do get ready. It's being drugged through the wilderness. It's being going through situations in your life that sharpen you and draw you closer to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, if you prepare yourself, the Lord will use you. I'm in Esther, just to prove that to you. Sorry, Mark, for the long lead-in, brother. I just think it's important I do it. I'm 4:13. Esther 4:13. Think about this. Rich, think about this. Robert, I know you're listening out there. I want all of you to think about this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Verse 13, 4:13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. He said, listen, don't go thinking there's something special about you. I mean, there is. But don't you think you're going to get, just don't think you're going to get away with this mess just because you happen to be an American, all right? Don't think you're special just because you happen to be a Jew. Don't think you're special just because you happen to stand in the pulpit. Mordecai says, verse 14, for if thou altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall the enlargement and the deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Sit still. If you aren't prepared and you don't stand up and say what the Lord has given you to say, let me tell you something, he'll find somebody that will. Because his word's not going to stop, and it's not going to go out and return void. It will perform that which he sent it to do. And some of you, he has set a mantle on you, and there's a time coming when you're going to have an opportunity to speak on behalf of the Lord, and you better be ready. You better have your belt tightened and be ready to go. Excuse me. I'm going to read this again. For if thou holdest thy peace at this time, then shalt there the enlargement and deliverance arise of the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether you are called into the kingdom for such time as this. Mark, has he been called for such time as this? It says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. It's a team effort. And so will I go unto the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to have myself ready and be willing for when that moment comes, I'll be able to stand up and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Mark Taylor, God bless you, man. Thanks for being with us. I'm sorry for the long introduction there, but I just thought it was appropriate to do us. Tell us your story here. Tell us your story here, Mark.
Thank you for having me on air. It's an honor to be here. Back in April 28th, 2011, I was listening to Donald Trump in an interview. He was doing something on Fox News or something like that.
April 8th, 2011.
Okay. April 28th, 2011. And I'm watching him on an interview. And I knew who Donald Trump was, but I didn't follow him. I wasn't an avid follower of him. So as I'm watching him in the interview, all of a sudden I hear the voice of the Lord say, you're listening to the voice of a president. So I came into my office where I'm at now. And I got a pad and a piece of paper, and just like Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, I sat down and listened to the Holy Spirit, what he was telling me. So as he was telling me, I was writing it out. And basically, he was telling me that Donald Trump was going to help turn this nation around. He was going to be a man of his word. He was telling me all kinds of stuff. So I just wrote all that down, and I had sat on it for a while. And I wrote another prophecy called The Great Horse, so that there was another Triple Crown winner coming. I thought all of this was supposed to go down in 2012, but that didn't come to pass. So I put it aside. I thought I truly missed it. So I wrote another little speech, General Eisenhower's speech. The Lord told me to go back and rewrite General Eisenhower's speech to the Army of God. So I rewrote it. I sat it aside. Well, you fast forward to 2015, because Donald Trump never announced he was running in 2012. He was thinking about it, but he never actually said he was going to do it, never committed.
So you're not telling people this at this point, right, Mark? Not really?
No, I was sick. I retired in 2006 from the fire service, and I got sick 6 months after I left. So I was bedridden for 4 or 5 days at a time. I couldn't eat for 4 and 5 days at a time. I had anxiety, depression, all this stuff. Nobody could figure out what was going on with me. This went on like 4 or 5 years. So I'd put all this stuff aside.
Stop a minute, Mark. Start. Listen, folks. Sure. I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord will never be able to use you till he wounds you. You better hear me. Until he wounds you, he will never be able to heal you and use you. Go ahead, Mark.
So I had been a doctor after doctor. They couldn't find what was going on. I'd found a Christian doctor after about 5 years of this, and he found everything that was going on with me all at one shot. I had a very low thyroid, I had severe adrenal burnout from the fire service, and I had the hormones of a 70-year-old at about 43. So I had shared the prophecy with that first doctor. And, of course, you know, again, Donald Trump wasn't thinking about running at that point. Stuff aside, not knowing what was fixing to happen. So fast forward to 2015. All of a sudden, D-Day comes around, and it's the Triple Crown win happens. So I pulled the prophecy out, and my sister was like, you know, hey, what is today? And it's like, oh, today's D-Day. So I pulled the speech out, and I heard the Lord say, release the speech. At the time, to release all of this. But my doctor at the time was Dr. Colbert. I had to find a second doctor, which is Dr. Don Colbert, and I had given it to him, and he gave it to his wife, Mary. So 10 days after that, January 6th, is when Donald Trump announced he was running for president. So they kind of took the ball from there and ran with it. Rick Wiles from True News came in with his wife for an appointment, and they shared it with him, and it went public after that, and that's all she wrote.
So stop a minute, Mark. Are you seminary trained? You some great theologian? What is it? Well, hey, Mark, why should we believe anything that you say? What makes you so special?
Not a thing. Absolutely. I am just, I've never been to seminary school. I've never been to Bible college. I don't have a degree of any kind hanging on my wall. I am just an ordinary, common, everyday person that has yielded himself over to the Lord Jesus Christ to use in whatever capacity he wants.
And so you weren't necessarily looking for this, or you weren't running around everybody, giving everybody a prophetic word and calling yourself Prophet Mark Taylor. You weren't doing any of that kind of stuff, right? You just kind of living your life and writing down what the Lord gave it to you, just to some guy out there in the wilderness, in the school of the wilderness, living his life and hearing from the Lord.
Myself a prophet. I call myself a prophetic voice.
Amen. Okay, Mark. So tell us. I could read the prophecy. Give it to us in a nutshell, what the Lord gave you in 2011.
He just said Donald Trump would be to America what Benjamin Netanyahu is to Israel.
You wrote it down? You wrote it down, Don?
Yes, I did.
Mark?
Okay, yes, I did. And he would help turn America around. And there was a bunch of things in that prophecy. I got a copy of it. I mean, if you have one, we can read it. I can grab it real quick.
I have one also. I think I can see if I can shoot this to Jared. Maybe we can do a follow along here. Let me see, Jared, if I got the right one.
All right.
Hey,
let me know when you're ready.
Okay, listen, guys, listen. I'm kind of a skeptic by nature. Is that all right? I'm a skeptic by nature. So, I come across people who, you know, supposedly they got this word from the Lord. Now, I'm not making fun, Mark. Bear with me. I just, you know, I'm leery. I'm always leery. And I know people listen, say, oh, yeah, he speaks to the Lord. Jared, I'm sending you that link right now. And then I think it says down at the bottom, charisma, and has Mark's prophecy on that thing. See if you can't pull that up there for us real quick. Sorry, Mark, I should have had this already up.
That's all right.
They call you that this thing, Charisma News, Mark, calls you the firefighter prophet. Right?
Well, I've been called a whole lot worse.
They call you a lot worse. Okay, and down, Jared, you scroll down about halfway down there, and it will give us his prophecy. And we'll be able to follow along as he reads it. A little bit farther, Jared. Oh, of course, that thing's got to pop up there. A little more. Okay, there you go. It says, the following is Taylor's original prophecy of 2011, which he wrote down. Go ahead, Mark, and we'll just follow along with it.
All right. I titled it Commander-in-Chief, and it says, the Spirit of God says, I've chosen this man, Donald Trump, for such a time as this. For as Benjamin Netanyahu is to Israel, so shall this man be to the United States of America. For I will use this man to bring honor, respect, and restoration to America. America will be respected once again as the most powerful and prosperous nation on earth other than Israel. The dollar will be the strongest it has ever been in the history of the United States. and will once again be the currency by which all others are judged. The Spirit of God says the enemy will quake and shake and fear this man I have anointed. They will even quake and shake when he announces he is running for president. It will be like the shot heard across the world. The enemy will say, what shall we do now? This man knows all our tricks and schemes. We have been robbing America for decades. What shall we do to stop this? The Spirit says, ha, no one shall stop this that I have started, for the enemy has stolen from America for decades and it stops now. For I will use this man to reap the harvest that the United States has sown for, but he was stolen, and return it sevenfold back to the United States. The enemy will say, Israel, Israel, what about Israel? For Israel will be protected by America once again. The Spirit says, yes, America will once again stand hand in hand with Israel, and the two shall be as one. For the ties between Israel and America will be stronger than ever, and Israel will flourish like never before. The Spirit of God says, I will protect America and Israel, for this next president will be a man of his word. When he speaks, the world will listen and know that there is something greater in him than all the others before him. This man's word is his bond, and the world and America will know this, and the enemy will fear this, for this man will be fearless. The Spirit says, when the financial harvest begins, so shall it parallel in the spiritual for America. The Spirit of God says, in this next election, they will spend billions to keep this president in. It would be like flushing their money down the toilet. Let them waste their money, for where it comes from is being used by evil forces at work, but they will not succeed, for this next election will be a clean sweep for the man I have chosen. They will say things about this man, the enemy, but it will not affect him. They shall say it rolls off of him like the duck, for as the feathers of a duck protect it, so shall my feathers protect this next president. Even mainstream news media will be captivated by this man and the abilities that I have gifted him with. They will even begin to agree with him, says the Spirit of God.
2011, you wrote that down. It's easy for us to sit here now and make a comparison to all that. Anybody have a response? Anybody have a question right now for Mark before we dig into this? Okay. All right, Mark. So what would you say? You laid that prophecy out. Your moment in time came or has come. You're speaking these things to the world, to the church world. People are hearing them. People are not hearing them. Mark, we're seeing right now such a, for lack of a better term, a shaking going on around President Trump. Those who put him in, they're worried about the fact that, golly, he bombed Syria. He's got all these Goldman Sachs guys around him. He sold us out. Everything that comes up, the media seems to blow out of proportion about President Trump. Has anything happened that you've seen, Mark, that would, in your mind, make this prophecy not true? Or how would you respond? How would you respond to it, Mark, those things I just brought up?
There's nothing I have seen that would make this prophecy false. I mean, everything in this prophecy so far has come to pass, except for the fact of the mainstream media agreeing with him. I think that I truly believe that is coming, because I think there's a shaking coming to the news media as well, because God's rooting out all the corruption, even in the news media. You're seeing it taking place now. As far as Syria and North Korea, you know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We don't, you know, I said that there was going to be some hot spots the first 4 or 5 months of his presidency. Well, a lot of people thought that was American. So did I. But when you look at it, Syria and North Korea are hot spots. Mm-hmm. Well, I personally think it was God ordained. Look at the timing of the Syria. He was having dinner with the prime minister of China when he fired those shots. That sent a message throughout the entire earth that America is back. We have a leader in the White House. We don't have someone that's being told what to do by the cabal or the shadow government. We have leadership in the White House. I wrote another prophecy called America, America, that said God was going to assemble his dream team. You're seeing that taking place right now. So far, he's kept every one of his promises. Now, the other thing dealing with North Korea is that you've had many people long ago that have prophesied that the two Koreas would become one. This dictator that's holding his people hostage, basically, he's got to be taken down somehow, some way. Now, again, if a shot has to be fired, so be it. But I believe God's going to take this guy down, and I believe the two Koreas are going to become one, like everyone's been prophesying for years. The gospel is going to be freely moved throughout the Korean Peninsula, and I believe, like I woke up the other morning and I heard the Lord say, Japan is open. So I believe the Koreas represents Asia, and I believe that the gospel will go freely forth through Asia, through the Koreas.
Well, Mark, what would you say to those, and I know there are many of them out there, would say, Well, Mark, you said in your prophecy the Lord told you that Donald Trump was a man of his word, and I've seen him backtrack on a lot of different things. He's talked about America first, not getting wrapped up entanglements, foreign entanglements, and he goes and he bombs Syria, and we think maybe he's going to bomb North Korea. How would you respond to that, Mark?
I would respond to it like, you know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. You know, we have been praying in the Spirit for years for the Lord to send us someone who will act and take care of these things. And then all of a sudden, our warfare is working. It's manifesting in the natural, but because we as human beings don't think it looks like what we think it should look like, doesn't mean that God's not in it. So that's how what I would say to a lot of these people.
With Mark Taylor, I call him prophetic fireman Mark Taylor. He rejects that. But Mark came up was given this prophecy back in 2011 that Donald Trump was going to be elected president of the United States. Mark, how do you see this in relationship? What's going on? You know, in this last election, there were a lot of never Trumpers, Mark. There were a lot of people. It was amazing to watch Trump win the evangelical vote, but yet there were a lot of hardcore Christians that still are not on the Trump train. I hate to use that term, but that's the term they use. That great division in the church. How do you meter that out, Mark?
I meter it out that the fact that the church has lost its discernment, and we could go right down the list of how many things of what's causing it. I mean, the 501c3 is one, because the Lord told me that 501c3 was a demonic portal over the church, because they're in covenant with the kingdom of darkness through Baal. So it's going to affect each church differently, depending on their spiritual maturity. So the church has just lost its discernment. We've got this hyper grace message going out, this feel good message. So, I mean, we can go right down the list, like I was saying. So again, they could not discern who God had chosen. And, you know, with the sad part, Coach, is that when we got down after the 17, we got down to two people. Trump, and the church still couldn't see it.
It was amazing.
It's like, how hard is this, folks? You've got a contest here between dark and light, good and evil. You have two choices. Still, the evangelicals were still fighting Trump.
They were, and still are. Many of them still are. Mark, right. Let's dive into the 501c3, because we spoke about that here on our show last Friday. You called it a demonic portal. What do you mean by that, Mark? Certainly, we're seeing the church through the 501c being married to the government. As I said, I spoke about that on Friday. But give us your perspective on exactly what that means.
It's basically it's no different than being in covenant with the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds. It's the Baal system. So, and when they enter into that 501c3, they have entered a covenant with the kingdom of darkness. They took a bribe is what they did. The Bible says when you take a bribe, it blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. So it's blinded the eyes of those who have come into that covenant, and it's perverting their words. The Lord flat out told me, he says, Mark, he says, many have come before you with this 501c3 message. He said, you're the last. He says, I gave you that prophetic word for the 501c3. He says, I don't even want you stepping foot into a 501c3 church. Otherwise, you will be blinded and your words will become defiled. So I can't even step foot into a 501c3 church right now. So because the church and its leadership is under judgment, and that 501c3 system especially is under judgment.
So, Mark, what do you say? You know, Trump came out against that 501c3. And so, during when he was campaigning, he says, we're going to get rid of that Johnson Amendment, blah, blah, blah. And they haven't done it yet, Mark. Why do you think they haven't rejected? Trump hasn't executive ordered the end of the 501c3 muzzle. What do you think that is?
I have talked to some people on his spiritual advisory board, and you know, I even said, I said, look, when this man gets in office, he's being handed a mess. He's being handed a conflagration here, a wildfire, so to speak. He's got a lot of fires to put out right now. So when he gets to that, I don't know the time frame. But I know there was speculation that he was either going to cancel it out completely, or he was going to just give them their First Amendment rights back and still maintain their nonprofit status. Now, I'm praying that he gets rid of the whole thing.
Yeah, because even if they get their free speech back, they're still married to the government, right, Mark?
Exactly. Correct. And, you know, we are called to rule and reign and to govern, and you can't govern when you're being governed over. Now, you can take that a step farther and say, okay, well, we've got leadership in the church. Well, have we really? when you think about it, because we're being governed by Baal if you're in that 501c3 system. Now, let's say he does do away with the 501c3. Let's say he just does completely away with it. Well, a church is a corporation. And now if you have a state like California who has rogue leadership, all they have to do is come in and say, hey, if you're a corporation and a house of worship, you're going to preach homosexuality, transgender from the pulpit, or we're going to shut you down. So you've got two levels of being governed over. So this, the church has a slavery mentality is what I've been saying.
So Mark, again, I tried to make that point on Friday. Folks, please understand this. I don't care how big talking your pastor is. If the IRS comes knocking on the door at your church, your big mega church, and tells your pastor that they're going to close down that church unless he marries homosexuals, hey, Mark, the pastors are going to do it, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. There was a test run done, I believe it was in Idaho, right before Obama left office, where they were trying to push the transgender bathrooms on the churches. Now, I believe in my heart of hearts that Hillary Clinton was supposed to solidify all of this. Obama couldn't get far enough with his agenda. Hillary was going to shut the lid on everything. They were going to use the 501c3 to shut the churches down and turn them into a mosque. That's what their agenda was. So, you know, people can fight Trump all they want to, but they better be very thankful that he's in office. Otherwise, they would have lost their ministries. They would have lost it all.
Yeah, we don't even have any idea what we averted. And I said to people, Mark, whether you believe it or not, God operated a miracle in that election. Whether it's for our good or whether for our bad, your prophecy said it's for our good. But I say to even people who are aware of it, said, what you have got to admit, that was the greatest upset. That was Liston Clay. Man, that was like that. There's no way that could have ever happened. And yet it happened in a split second, which tells us the hand of God was moving. And I think the debate that we see in so many circles today is not whether or not the hand of God moved. People see that. Was that hand of God moving for our good, or was he moving on? Is Donald Trump a, for lack of a better term, a deliverer, or I say a foot in the door, a bouncer at a bar, or is he some maniac in waiting that's going to come and bring even greater troubles and torment upon the earth? How do you respond to that one, Mark?
Well, you know, I don't think anybody could bring greater troubles on the earth than Hillary Clinton.
I'm with you on that one, man.
So, yep. You know, anything is better than Hillary Clinton. But, you know, this man is anointed and appointed by God. I mean, God has given sign after sign after sign that he is anointed by God and that God's hand is upon him. And that's the part where the church has no discernment to even see that. I mean, you saw it time and time again. He would do something. God would come back and cover it over. Or, you know, every time this man was attacked, his poll numbers would go up. The others would go down to the point that they were even kicked out of the race. Now, when have you ever seen that in history of politics?
It was unbelievable.
It was incredible.
It was. Every time they thought he was done, he wasn't done. Yeah. Hey, Jared, go to John 11 real quick. Pull that up there for me. I want to show you guys something, because Mark said something that really listen, this is what I like about the Holy Spirit. I love a lot of things about the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. But as Mark was speaking, and I'm listening to what Mark's saying, this ever happened to you? It's like the Holy Spirit taps you on the chest, says, did you get that? And Mark said something, and boom, boom, that thing tapped on me. Did you get that? To me, that's the way the Holy Spirit's a person. That's the way he communicates with me. I'm sorry. And that's the way. And so when Mark said that, all of a sudden, boom, the scripture came to me. And I want to show you something. Because I don't want this to sound blasphemous. Donald Trump, I've said all along, is a foot in the door. Donald Trump cannot make America great again. Only the church can make America great again. Donald Trump's put his foot in the door, and now's the opportunity for the church to arise. I'm in John 11, and let's go to verse 41, Jared. I want you guys to see this, Mark. And again, I want you to know this. The Lord poked me on the chest as you were speaking, okay? You ever had that happen to you? Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm sure you have. He taps, says, there you go, bud. Right there. So this is Lazarus. This is Lazarus. We all know the story of Lazarus. He'd been buried and he's been in the grave for 3 days. And he said, he stinketh and You know, if he had been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died and all that stuff. We know that. But Jesus shows up and he does this. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Wow. How about this? Jesus said, "Take ye away the 501c3. Because see, that stone could be whatever, right? In this instance, this is a stone that is blocking life. Are you with me, guys? This is a stone that is blocking life. And Jesus says, "Take away that stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto the Lord, "By this time he stinks, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said I not unto you that if thou wouldst believe, that thou should see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place. They took away from that place where the dead was laid. And Jesus looked up his eyes and said, "Father," they rolled away that stone. "Father, I know you hear me." And verse 42, "And I knew that thou hearest me always." But for all these people that are standing by here watching, this is why I'm saying this out loud, so they'll understand, Lord, that this came from you. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth. Take off that 501c3. Come out of there." And he that was dead came forth, bound head and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Now, here was the peck on my chest, Mark. That 501c3 would be rolling away that stone. But it's up to us to shake it off. It's up to us to shake it off. Trump could roll away the 501c3. He could roll it away. But if people still stay in bondage to that thing, he has done everything that he could do. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus comes forth, he comes forth what? Bound in his death clothes. Still bound up and wrapped up. And at some point, the church is going to have to arise and do for itself when nobody else can do for itself. The body has to be loosed, set free. I had to share that, man. That was the poking on my chest.
It's part of the church system, Coach. It's the church system is what's under judgment right now.
Yep.
And this church system, the Lord was telling me the other day, has become the new Pharaoh.
Hmm.
And it is oppressing and suppressing the people. And part of the judgment you're seeing taking place, I prophesied that when Donald Trump was elected, a sign would be given, the earth would quake. Now, I think it was three days, four days, somebody could fact check me on that. Right after that, Christ Church, New Zealand got nailed with an earthquake, and I knew that was the one that the Lord was talking about. Now, the last time that Christ Church, New Zealand was decimated in an earthquake was the same year, it was like 2 or 3 months after the Trump prophecy was written. So they were waiting on a tsunami to come in. The first wave had already come in, so I believe this judgment is going to come in 2 waves. For Christ's church, this judgment, I believe one of them is already here, which is the mass exodus, which is why the has become the new Pharaoh. Basically, you're seeing this mass exodus from the church, and because of that, I think you're going to see the doors shut to these churches. You're going to see them collapse. Their finances are going to dry up, so you'll see churches merging, trying to sustain one another. I think you'll see home churches, which the government doesn't want you to have, will become a big thing. Wow. Because again, you will not be oppressed by the government. No one will be controlling you, because the government wants to control the churches. They want to indoctrinate the people. And when you are a home church, they don't have their thumb on you.
Amen.
They can't do that. So that's why they don't want your kids in home schools, because they can't indoctrinate your kids. That's why they don't want the churches in the home churches. So that's why I think you'll see the home churches really break out, and you're going to see these spec ops groups.
Sarge, Michael, I can tell you want to say something. Hang on a second. Sarge, explain what you wrote over here on the side. Man, that is very, very profound, Sarge. You said that those in the true church are being called out of the false church. What do you mean by that, Sarge?
Yep.
He might have walked away to get a hamburger or something. Here's what I see. Hang on, Rog. Here's what I see. See, that's the rolling away of the stone, saying, come out of that thing. Come out of that old dead thing, that old dead religious system. Come out of there. Loose yourself. Come alive in the spirit. Come alive in the fulfillment of everything God wants you to do. But that stone's been rolled away. You can get out of that thing now. Come on out of there. Yeah, Raj?
Quick question. And Mark, I've not heard of your background, but I've been on the huddle for about a year, and I do believe in prophecy. Here's the question I've always wanted to answer, and this may not be the time. How do we handle the many prophets who are false? There is, the TV people, and I'm not directing this at you, Mark. I've got a general question. I know in Old Testament times they would stone them. Do we just not listen to them? Or is there a biblical approach in today's culture of how to deal with the false prophet? And my foundation is not a doubt of you, Mark. It is more general.
Well, Roger, the scripture says my prophets prophesy lies and the people love it that way. See, so the prophets are prophesying lies because it tickles them, makes them feel good, makes their ears feel good. It's the good stuff that they want to hear. They don't want to hear those, what they would call negative. You're so negative. Go ahead, Mark. I didn't mean to answer for you.
No, I mean, you're right on the money with that. I mean, I have been stoned spiritually. I've had hit pieces done on me on the Huffington Post. I had my website just taken out from underneath me, supposedly by the government, what they're telling me, which I don't believe. I mean, when you're on the front lines, you can generally tell when you're hitting a nerve.
The pigs are squealing, right,
Mark? Pigs are squealing, man. I just did a interview with Sheila Zielinski on her show, and literally we started talking about frequencies. And when I hit the frequency thing, the show cut off. It started replaying. They lost the second part of the show. I mean, we had so much spiritual warfare. When you start tapping into stuff and you're on the front lines, you just can't make some of this stuff up. You know you're on the right track when you're getting some of these hits like this.
So, Mark, Roger's question, we really never really answered that. He said, what do we do with these false prophecies and these false prophets? How do we handle that, Mark?
Honestly, from a biblical perspective, I don't like calling somebody out. If I have to be in a very direct order from the Lord in order to call someone out by name. So I say we just use discernment, use wisdom, love and grace, and mercy, because that's what we're called to do.
What they did in the book of Acts? Who was in the book of Acts says, hey, listen, don't mess with it. If this is of God,
right,
we ain't going to stop it. And if it's not of God, it ain't even going to matter. So that's kind of the approach that you're taking in, Mark, huh?
Right, right.
If it's of the Lord, we'll know it. Yeah, Sarge, go ahead. Right. I'm sorry, Mike. I forgot you. Go ahead, Sarge.
Yeah, the issue about the calling out, there's several books and people who have written about the whole religious system being the beast system of Baal, the worship of Baal. And what Christ is asking of us is those who have the wisdom and whose hearts and have been written in the book of life, you're being called out of those false churches because
the stone's been rolled away, brother. The stone's been rolled away.
You're not being fed there, and you know you have to leave because you are in a system that is not of the spiritual realm, because part of us is in the throne room, and if we're fighting this spiritual battle, we're fighting from above as below. And you will know it in your heart that you cannot be where you are when there was no Holy Spirit in that gathering.
Amen. Rich, I'm going to make him nervous here. Michael, I haven't forgotten you. I promise you. Rich, I'm going to make him nervous because I know that you're not plugged in to a local fellowship other than this one, which is 5 days a week. It's pretty good in my estimation. Rich, are you floundering? Are you more alive spiritually? Are you dying because you don't have that nourishment every Sunday at that brick-and-mortar church?
No, I finally found a body to be a part of and that functions, that goes and does and functions. And it seems like each and everything we do, it brings scripture alive.
Amen.
Like any time sitting in a pew.
Amen, brother. Amen. You're now exercising your faith, which is what the scriptures tell us to do. Okay, Mike, I won't step on you again. Jump in here. Sorry.
The thing I wanted to bring up was, you know, there has to be a certain amount of patience with what Mark has told us over this period of time. I mean, he had to learn patience with the prophecy he was given. It didn't turn out immediately. It came over time. And we're dealing with people. God uses people to fulfill the word that's been spoken. You know, you can't just erase the 501(c). I mean, he can write an executive order, but we've got a constitution. We have a way of living here in America that is by law and order. And that's what he says he wants to do, is bring back law and order. So you have to go through the channels of people, we the people, proclaiming and doing things and voicing our opinion, saying things that will push our representatives, how the government works. We've got to move. The people have to do their part. Just like you were reading in John's gospel about Lazarus. What did he do? Jesus said, remove the garments. Mm-hmm. What happened? People went and removed the garments off of Lazarus.
Amen.
So the dimension of what we have to do to fulfill the prophecy that cannot be forgotten too.
Mark, I've noticed in, thanks, Michael. So I've noticed in some of the things I've heard you, some of the shows I've seen on some of the a YouTube video here and there that I've watched on you, that you're one of us in that, Mark. You do, in fact, believe in these secret societies, the Illuminati and the Masonic and all that stuff. Talk about that a little bit, Mark, why you believe that's real. And why, Mark, is it so hard to convince people that it's real?
Well, I, you know, Freemasonry runs in everybody's bloodline. I don't care who you are. You can go back all the way to Nimrod. Basically, the Freemasonry thing is huge. So, I mean, we've come to a point where it's in everyone's bloodline, and it's important that you go back and clean out your bloodline as far as repenting for your family bloodline. And I have done that. It does run in my family. And I don't want anything to do with the secret society. You know, but these things are demonic. And people get caught up in it. They get deceived. And these things are very real.
And so one of the things that Trump is, they're calling it the deep state, right? We hear that all the time, the deep state. Come on, man. What the hell does that mean, the deep state? Well, it's these hidden things, these hidden dark forces that are at work behind the scenes. Now, if we don't think, Mark, we've told those who watch this show over and over and over, that there are two teams. Jesus has a team and the devil has a team. You are of your father, the devil, the works of your father you will do. That there's an enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. We've tried to help people understand if you are not adopted on God's team, you are serving the king of darkness. Now, I mean, it's just you're born serving that king until you get adopted into the new family. So the idea that the devil's team would be organized and especially striving to be in control of worldly stuff should not come as a surprise to us.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you've got the cabal or the shadow government. You know, they're calling the shots behind the government behind the government. I call them a lot of times, you know, so, I mean, this stuff is very real. You know, they are into the highest form of witchcraft on earth. They are masters of deception, of manipulation. That's why you're seeing the economy manipulated, our currencies manipulated. You know, people can say these are conspiracy theories. Now, one thing I will say about this is that the New World Order, you know, one thing I will say, I'll give credit where credit's due, Hillary Clinton and Obama and his minions were very good at exposing and bringing to light the New World Order, because what used to be a conspiracy theory, even atheists on the street are talking about the New World Order now. So that's one good thing I will say that they didn't bring out.
That's true. That's true. And it was George Bush first back in the 80s that first spoke publicly about it. You know, Mark, I saw something else that came across it. I'd never met you before. It's making me like you more and more, by the way, Mark. You took on abortion head on. And rather than me reading or talking about what you said, tell us what you see, how abortion is powering so much of what's going on.
Abortion, Baal is the strong man over America. Now, I'm not going to go into a teaching on Baal. Baal's an it's a he and a she. It's a very violent entity. He is the counterfeit Christ and Satan's triune. So he feeds off the blood of the innocent. And these aborted babies, the child sacrifice, is the food source that is empowering Baal. So the second we take away his food source, that's power or principality or structure will come crumbling down. And I have prophesied that there would be five Supreme Court justices. God was going to reform the court. And at that point, Roe versus Wade would be overturned. Now, for those who, again, signs were given, a great prophetic sign was given 4 weeks into Donald Trump's presidency, and that was the lady responsible for Roe versus Wade died.
Norma McCorvey.
She died, and that was a prophetic sign to the people that Roe versus Wade was going to die under Trump's leadership.
I never put that together. Wow.
So once that's, and we're all, and for those that think he's not keeping his word, he just defunded the UN for the abortion. And now he's just done something with the states to defund Planned Parenthood. So we're chipping away at it. It's coming.
Fellas, folks, listen, if you don't think abortion, I've told you a number of times, I believe that blood is currency in the spiritual realm. Mark called it food. Maybe that's a better illustration. That this anti-Christ beast eats blood, lives off of blood. Ask yourself this. How can we be almost 2 years removed from Planned Parenthood being exposed for selling body parts and that thing still not be defunded? You tell me there's not something powerfully strong going on behind the scenes. Why would it be so? What would be so hard for a group of Republicans to merely pass a bill saying, no, we're not going to fund Planned Parenthood anymore, other than there is a very strong spirit behind the scenes that is working to keep this food source in place? How would you respond to that one, Mark?
Well, you know, the Holy Spirit just poked me when you said something. You know, the abortion issue is, you know, the church is a spiritual moral compass of any nation. How a nation goes is how the church is supposed to go, or how the church goes is how the nation is supposed to go. You want, why we're divided is because we divided church. We could go on and on. But the reason the church cannot make headway on the abortion issue, number one, is the 501c3. That's the number one issue right there, because they gave up their right to speak. And if you want to know the truth, and I speak the truth, the blood of those aborted babies is not on America's hands. Everybody says America's under judgment because of the aborted babies. No, it's not. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. It's on the church's hands. We are responsible for that. If you want to know why pro-life can't make headway in the spiritual realm or in the legal realm, is because they are equally yoked with Planned Parenthood and pro-choice because they're 501c3s. Bible says don't be unequally yoked. So how can you legally take on an entity? You can't cast out Satan with Satan. So how can you legally, in the spiritual realm, take on an entity when you're a part of it?
Wow.
And covenant with it.
Amen, brother. Amen. Mark, you alluded something. Anybody wants to jump in here, wave your hand so I can see. We'll get you in here. Yeah, go ahead, George. I'm sorry.
Hey, Mark. So do you believe what we're seeing with Donald Trump is more of a reprieve based upon what the church does?
Honestly, I don't think the church has a whole lot of bearing on what's going on right now, the church system. I really don't. This victory we had November 8th and the inauguration, because God gave three objectives: getting Trump elected, get him inaugurated, and then the first 4 or 5 months were going to be rocky, which is where we're at right now, and we're approaching the pinnacle of this third objective. But it's not the church that's winning these victories, guys. It's us. It's the remnant.
It's true.
The army of God. Those are the ones that are having the victories, and you're going to see victory after victory after victory through the remnant, the army of God.
Mark, you mentioned something one of them I was listening to the other day. Boy, I thought, man, is that ever right on? When you said that right now we're in rough water, and a lot of people can't ride out the rough water. That's why so many people are abandoning him. Go ahead and react to that, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. The Lord showed me we've got three positions right now where the body of Christ is at right now. And this whole thing has a D-Day component. Like I wrote the D-Day speech. And so if you know anything about D-Day, these guys were on those ships for 3 days, and they were seasick. They were being tossed about. The Lord said that's where the majority of the body of Christ is at right now. They're on those ships. All they can focus on is the storm. So, and they're being tossed about to and fro.
They're getting dizzy.
They're getting dizzy. So God's trying to get them promoted out of the boat and into the landing craft. The first group that's in the ship, they're seasick. You've got the second group that's been promoted. They're in the landing craft. They're approaching the beach. Now, they've placed obstacles on the beach to keep the armor from approaching the beach. They're focused on the obstacles. They can't get out of the landing craft because they're focused on the obstacles. Now, those could be different for each person. It could be Syria, North Korea, whatever. It could be a personal thing. Then you have the army of God, which is people like ourselves, the remnant, is storming inland. They're taking ground for the kingdom of God, and they're holding it at all costs.
What a picture. What a picture, man. SWAT team, Rich. That's what I'm saying. We're the SWAT team, right? We go. That's your special ops. Man, I can't believe what a confirmation this is for me. I don't know about everybody else. Brother, this is a confirmation for me. And the special ops, as we know, are, by the way, the most highly trained, right? The most fearless, who do, in fact, go into enemy-held territory ahead of those puking guys coming behind them. And, you know, I just got thinking about that. Those poor guys that were storming Normandy Beach were doing it seasick. Wow. Yeah,
they've been sick for 3 days. And so these spec ops groups you're seeing, and this is what me and Michael were talking about, because he confirmed what I was hearing, that the Lord said it was going to be these spec ops groups, these small groups. And this is where the spiritual guerrilla warfare comes in.
Amen. Oh, this is encouraging my heart, brother. I got that. Hey, Mark, we got about 3 minutes left. Just give us a take home here. Whatever. Give us a take home here.
Well, you know, I just read an article yesterday, and I want to encourage the people. When I wrote that prophetic word, I was sick. I was bad sick. I didn't think God was ever going to use me. If somebody would have told me I'd have been doing this kind of stuff right now, I'd have thought, man, there's just no way. So I want to encourage the people out there. You don't need a degree hanging on the wall. You don't have to go to Bible college or seminary school. You just got to go to the school of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God can use you right where you're at. I don't care where you're at, even in a hospital bed right now. God can use you in the army of God.
I call it the school of the wilderness, Mark.
Yes.
That's where it's been for me. Where does it go from here, brother? I'm not asking you to say, thus saith the Lord.
Right.
What do your instincts tell you at this point? Where's this thing heading?
I think the army of God is going to increase in numbers as we go along. I think the church system is going to begin to collapse. And I think you're going to see victory after victory after victory for the army of God. I think it's time now. See, I think it's time now for us to torment the enemy. It's time for his punishment versus him punishing us.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Let's torment hell, right? Let's torment hell.
That's right.
We got to do our part.
Yes.
Wow. Well, Mark, this has been a great hour. Appreciate you being with us and your insight. And I think as much as anything, Mark, I appreciate you, your humility, that you are really just one of us, and that you would have never known, Mark, who would have ever known back in 2011 when you're in that bed sick as a dog and you write down this prophecy, you had no idea. You had no idea. And it, see, we live in a McDonald's generation, right? We pull through the drive-thru, and if your burger isn't ready, they say, hey, park it. And they'll bring it to you, right? And then that makes us mad because we want it right now. And we're living in this McDonald's generation where we want a prayer and we want an answer. And unfortunately, that isn't how it works.
Nope.
But those of us who bear the name of Christ, and those of us who are his children, those of us who are his sheep and hear his voice, we have to keep the line steady. Keep moving forward. And give the opportunity for the Lord to bless the sacrifice that we're giving him to work with. And the sacrifice we're giving him is what? Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and not to be conformed to this world and by what CNN says and Fox News says and Rush Limbaugh says. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the washing of the water of the word. What an exciting time to be alive. Hey, Mark, how would people get a hold of you if they wanted to contact you?
They can go to swordrescue@gmail.com.
Say that again, brother. Sword?
Sword, S-O-R-D, rescue at gmail.com. Right now I don't have a website because I got shut down. So
SwordRescue@gmail.com. Sword yep. Rescue. There's all kind of, listen, there's all types of YouTube videos and stuff out there on Mark. And Mark, just brother, thank you for being just a common guy that you're, that the Lord's using. And you're a blessing to more people than you even know.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been an honor to be here, guys. Nice to meet everybody.
Mark, you hang in here a second, because when we disconnect here from the internet, we're still all going to be connected here for just a second. So right. God bless you, folks. As far as I know, Russ Dizdar will be with us tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. Oh, what a time to be alive. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.